Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the weekly podcast. It is the 18th of January, 2021. It's been a rest week due to COVID. There's been no rugby, but doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all because you've got me and you've got...
him.
Yeah, well done, mate. Right on cue. You've got him. You've got us both. And if you also listen to this, we might have a little guest on later. He starred in the BBC series called The Serpent.
Yeah, he was
sort of factored
on. Well, Match of the Day, didn't he, for a long time?
Yes.
Was he on Match of the Day or Grandstand?
Grandstand, I think.
He's running the Grand National. He's been ridden by Frankie Dettori.
He starred in movies such as... Yes. Yeah. You beat me to it, you bastard.
Anything with Willem Dafoe in it. Anything with Kevin Bacon in it.
Body of Lies with Madonna. That's the only one I know with Willem Dafoe in for some reason.
Oh, that wasn't Body of Lies quite a naughty one?
Was it Body of Lies or Body of Evidence?
Body of Lies was Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Hmm.
I remember my dad talking about Jamie Lee Curtis and said, she really does have a wonderful figure. Yeah. I think that's
Dad,
code for...
Dad, name two things you like about her.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, Dad, you animal.
Well, my dad and his mate, years and years ago, when my mum and dad were divorced and they used to take us on holiday because him and his mate both were... they had kids as well, so mixed around with them. But we used to go to Portugal a lot. And there was this one beach. I think it was called Zavial, right? And my old man and his mate used to go running up and down it all the time. Like, look at my dad, he's so healthy and fit. And a few years down the line, when I got a little bit older, I realised why. Because the far end of the beach was nudist.
Yeah.
And I used to go down there with their aviators on, their little Adidas running shorts, like Ron Hills.
Yeah.
And just go have a look. Sort of shaped me to...
Good looking blokes over there as well.
Sort of shaped me to what I am today, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, a bit predatory and a bit pervy. But yeah, I mean, you know, aren't we all?
No, horses for courses.
Yeah, blokes for strokes.
So Matt Powell is going to come on the podcast. We're looking for someone upbeat. We're looking for a Lions update, basically. He's heavily involved with our little tour to South Africa later on this year, touch wood. So he's going to give us plenty of updates. You got a good story on him about the cause runaway. You told me to remind you about that. All right.
Oh yeah, good reminder. Well, I tell you what. Should we ask him when he comes on? Because we're in the nice position now where instead of knifing him behind his back, we can knife him to his face or to his ears. We can knife him to his ears. Because I normally would just tell the story, but now we can make him tell it because it'll be an agony for him.
Just wait. And the thing I like about Powley is, like, I class him as a mate outside of rugby. You know, I actually forgot that he played a bit of rugby, you know, so I class him as a civilian.
Hey, he was in Dowie Morris's Premiership Dream Team 2004-05. You know, because you've seen the picture in his downstairs toilet.
Oh, didn't I just? Head down the pan.
Well, no, you were. I mean, we shouldn't glorify this sort of behaviour, but you were sick in his spare bedroom, not his downstairs.
I was a little bit drunk. right.
Remember in the morning when he made a sausage and bacon sandwich?
Don't.
And you're like, no, I'm all right. I'm all right. Thanks. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm all right. You're like, go on. I made you one. No, I'm okay. Tom, take it. I've made it for you now. Didn't you throw it on the floor?
No, I threw it down my throat because I thought I had to. But it was just awkward. I had to say, Matt, can I have a little word with you? So, how am I going to say this? Anyway, so big news this week, flatters, is I finished The Serpent. Smashed through it. Now, the last episode was a bit of a nightmare because it was yesterday. I wanted to finish it in the afternoon so we could watch something with the kids in the evening. So I had to put my two-year-old with his iPad, with some earphones on, next to me, and some chocolate to keep him...
It's called parenting, mate.
To keep 101, to keep him occupied for an hour. Just about did it, finished it. Wow, what a series.
Yeah.
Didn't know Jenna Coleman was English either.
Well, not
till halfway through it.
Not until you Googled her about 5 minutes into the first episode, I would say.
Halfway through the first episode, sure I had. brilliant, mate. Loved it.
Can I say something? I mean,
you didn't like it. No, something was wrong. There's a...
No, loved it. Loved it all. Can I say one thing that you might laugh at, but I thought the wardrobe, whoever did the wardrobes for that show, for The Serpent, is a legend, because the wardrobe, the clothes are amazing. He looked amazing, didn't he?
Every single time.
She's very beautiful and looked amazing, but he looked amazing all the time.
Looked like he's ready for Strictly every single time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was fully made. What an actor. I've seen him in, I think it's called The Target, a French cult classic. I think it's called The Target.
Who's cultured.
No, I Googled best movies to watch and it said watch this, and I did watch it and he was the main guy in it, and it was so good I've forgotten it, but I remember thinking that was quite good as opposed to...
Yeah, I loved it as well.
I'm a legend.
I love that film as well, yeah. I saw him in another French movie. It was nominated for an Oscar. It was brilliant, really good. I forgot what it was about, what it was called, but it was great. if I could find one fault with it, and I'm not normally like this, but... Just that, so much smoking. Like, if they weren't speaking, they were smoking. If there was a spare 20 seconds, the character couldn't just stand there. They had to light up a cigarette.
Yeah, but
maybe it was cooler back then in the 70s.
I always thought that was part of it. Like, it was almost like a theme, that smoking was a theme that ran through it.
Big time.
It was like an added stressor, wasn't it? Because it was like a stress-related... Oh, The Prophet, it was called. The Prophet.
Yeah.
I can hardly remember it. But I remember I wondered where I knew that guy from.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. And I'm really cultured. So
it was a hell of a series.
Yeah, I really like that. Really good. Struggling at the moment for something to watch.
Premature
really
Murders.
Unusual.
Did you do that?
Done it.
Enjoy it.
Okay, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Go for it. Well, you do.
Have you watched it?
Of course.
I don't want to be inappropriate on our pod, which is usually quite appropriate, but I assume when I read about the Pembrokeshire murders, I assumed that your old man at least be involved somewhere, because he lives down that way, doesn't he?
He does. He lives in Tenby.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, was he anything to do with it? Have you confirmed his whereabouts?
He's fine, mate. He's fine.
He's fine. He's not great after a few pints, but he tends to avoid it, doesn't he now?
He was playing against Ireland that date, mate.
Oh, there you go.
On the wing, scored a try. Set up by Garth Edwards. Yeah.
There you go. Took a lot longer to get four caps in those days, boy. So, I really liked it. Well, no, I liked it. I'm glad I watched it. Okay. I thought Keith Allen was really good. Mm-hmm. Thought his wife was really good. I thought the main detective was... like super chiseled and like looked wicked, but I thought it was a little bit formulaic in that it's an odd one where you know from the first 10 minutes who the guilty party is, but that's fine. But then there's not much mystery to it.
Well, if you follow the case, you know anyway. So
yeah, but I hadn't, but that's fine. But that's all right. But then I found it a little bit like someone has written a script and then everyone is following the script, which sounds like a stupid thing to say, but it's like you speak, then I speak, then you speak, then I speak, then you speak, then I speak. Very few wasted words. It was a little bit like a play.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Very critical. I didn't find it as natural. I didn't find it as natural and as like intense as like compare. I know they're literally different characters, but compare the serpent.
Yeah.
Charles Surprise. I know it's a different role, but he's so natural. You're like, I didn't think it was on that level.
I prefer the serpent, but that was
yeah,
just a different case. You know, in general, that was that was incredible. You know what went on there for such a long time.
God, but
wasn't
it?
I did enjoy the Pembrokeshire Murders, though. I thought Luke Evans, who played
I did.
I remember seeing him in The Alienist. Did you ever watch that? That's quite good.
No,
quite
I did. Wasn't it a bit sci-fi?
No, it was. Set like in 1800s.
Right, okay.
Pretty sure it was. Some sort of detective.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he was some sort of... What was he again? Oh, I can't remember, mate, without... He was also in Beauty and the Beast.
Yep. Hey, great-looking guy. Let me just say, great-looking guy. Looks like he's got a great physique. A wonderful figure underneath his smart shirts. I thought he looked great.
The Alienist, mate, is quite good. You'd like it. It's a psychological thriller set in 1896 in New York. Gruesome murder of boy prostitutes, all right?
Suddenly come back to you, is it?
Yeah, like the film you just mentioned. Yeah,
what was it called? I've already forgotten it. No, Prophet, that's what it was called.
Yeah.
La Prophète, Une Prophète. Yes, I've started... Premature Murders I liked. Mm-hmm. Schitt's Creek is ongoing and it's just genius. It's absolutely genius.
Unbelievable.
If that doesn't win awards for its wardrobes as well, the clothes in it are hilarious. Like, everyone's outfits are amazing.
They're brilliant in their own way.
We spoke about this last week, didn't we?
Yeah. All of them brilliant.
And you went all red when we started talking about Alexis.
How could you tell I was red?
They are brilliant.
We did it live, didn't we?
Yeah. It's just brilliant. I love that show. But I like something quite heavy at night to watch.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch comedy all night. I want
so
to
I
watch
gave
dark,
you
darkness, darkness, darkness.
I've given you The Boys. That's good.
Yeah,
it is good. Suburba, Blood on Rome is good. Ben Backhouse gave me that one. I think there's two series of it. It is good. It's a bit like Gomorrah.
But not as good.
Italian. It's good, mate. It is good. You'll enjoy. I think you'll enjoy. It's subtitled. Okay. I'm halfway through episode one of The 12, which is the Belgium series you put me onto, which also
it's good, isn't it?
Ross Harris put me onto it as well.
I think I must have put him onto it because he would never know about it without me. Now, do you know who recommended it on Twitter? Was Ricky Gervais. So I think everybody probably got it from Ricky Gervais.
Who also recommended Gomorrah. Correct?
Oh, Gomorrah's just... Oh, don't know, but I've been on Gomorrah for a long time, boy, years, and I think they're filming another series as we speak. I think someone tweeted me that.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. I think you are right.
Oh, I can't wait. I love it. I love that show.
Mm.
Now Chiru's gone. Chiru.
Yeah. Well, don't spoil it for people, mate.
All right. You might come back. You never know.
So no rugby this weekend, our kid. What have you done?
Oh.
Went for a walk? Let me guess.
Since you ask... one thing, oh God, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble with the COVID police. No, I'm not actually. House removals are allowed. So I had to do some house removals on Saturday, which involved...
I'm leaving you cow.
yeah, it wasn't actually. Wasn't that. Not again.
Okay.
She's not a cow. She's wonderful.
No, that was...
I did some home removals on Saturday. Yeah. And then on Sunday, right, it reminded me of... I might have said this before on the pod, but when I was a comms director at Bath Rugby for a couple of years after I retired, when I basically ran the club.
We can't forget that.
Yeah. So
don't let us.
We had a job interview for the job that Baz Barrett ended up getting. You know Baz with two Zs, that works for WIU now. And two Zs. I mean, who don't know? You wouldn't like him.
Nah.
So anyway, Baz ended up getting the job, but the bloke I interviewed before Baz... One of my questions, because I was like super chilled out entertainer boss type who didn't really do anything.
Yeah, if you don't feel like coming to work, go home. It's fine.
Yeah, just go home. That was actually one of my rules. So they had I said, one of my questions was, right, you've got a free weekend, so it's Friday lunchtime, you find out that work is cancelled and you haven't got to be in again till Monday afternoon, so you've basically got 3 days. So what do you do? What do you do? And when I asked Baz, he goes, oh, to be honest, shall I be honest or not? I said, mate, be honest, because I'll know if you're lying, because you'll look to the left. He's like, I'd probably go and get absolutely bollocks with my mates. Last Saturday night, we're in Bath, and yeah, we had a massive war on, and it was brilliant, and loads of us, loads of blokes, loads of girls, we had a wicked time, and I was spewing all the next day, or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't like spewing, but at least this guy's honest, and he says he'd go out and get on it.
Yeah.
And have an all day. The first guy interview said, look, I've actually just, if I had a dream weekend, it would probably be, you know, eat really clean for the whole weekend, and had just an absolutely massive deep clean of my flat. So like basically spend almost a whole day on each part of the flat and just do a complete deep clean for the whole weekend. And I thought to myself, that answer has just cost you a job you wouldn't have liked anyway, my brother.
But he could have been like Frank the Tank, you know, and said, no, I've got a busy weekend, I'm going Home Depot, and then next minute,
yeah,
necking pints through a funnel.
Yeah, he was quite fit as well. Like, he was quite big and good looking, had a really good rig, and he wore like a polo shirt and had really big biceps. And I was just like, I don't want you in the building, mate.
Did you look at his shoes?
Cheap. Out. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I didn't want him in the building. But anyway, so Sunday, he had a really good deep clean.
All right.
That was my point. That's what reminded me of it. I had a good sort out. Because, you know, I'm living in quite a small house at the moment, Tommy. So there's, you know, space is at a premium here.
Six bed is small for you, yeah?
It's not six bed. It's five bed and a study.
Yeah.
It's actually not, listeners. One day, maybe. But so it's actually, you know, it was a really good day. It was a day well spent, Tommy, because it was practical. It was a bit asthmatic, a bit sweaty, but felt great.
Proactive.
What did you do?
Went for a walk, mate.
Oh, God, here we go.
Went for a walk. What did I do on... They're all, like, every day at the moment is a Sunday, mate. A little bit of work to do in the mornings today. But went for a walk, drove my two-year-old around in the car so he'd have a sleep, went down to Margam Park and back. Sometimes I stop off for a coffee in Pencoed, depends where you're from.
Oh, yeah.
And watch The Serpent in the evening.
Yeah.
I did a nice dinner last night. I cooked a...
Go on, then.
It's a Jamie Oliver recipe. It's crunchy garlic chicken. So you use the crackers as breadcrumbs, Jacob's crackers. And you blend them up with garlic, with butter, with some lemon zest. And then you smash the breasts. So you flatten the breasts. You dip them in flour, dip them in egg, dip them in the crumbs in the oven for 20 minutes.
Oh, gosh. How was that?
Yeah, it was nice, mate. It was nice. I'm not saying it's world class, but... Okay. You know, sometimes I'm getting a little bit bored of cooking the same food, and you know, I don't have the time also to spend 6 hours cooking a dishoom curry or anything like that.
No, because you've just said you've got a bit of work through in the mornings, then nothing else, so you probably don't have the time, do you?
Well, a 2-year-old, mate. Have you looked after can you remember looking after a 2-year-old?
Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry,
you can't. Just follow me around the house, tidying up.
Just all you do is walk. You walk around Bent at 45 degrees for basically about 4 years.
Yep.
Picking things up. It's people go on about how good it is. It's shite.
I did watch Liverpool Man U yesterday. What a game. Not.
Apparently it was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know the Jacob's cracker thing?
Yep.
That reminds me, you know our mate Tomo?
Yep.
Dave Thompson. We used to go on nights out. I used to like just be at the bar and I was chatting to a girl or something. I'd be like, oh, this is Dave, yeah. And I'd be like, yeah, his family. I basically used to spread the rumor around Enfield that his family, he was heir to the Jacob's cracker throne.
Yeah.
I never quite knew why, but it was amazing how much more popular he was once people thought he was, when men and women thought he was heir to a £1 billion throne, Jacob's crackers. By the time they found out,
it was too late. They're married.
It was too late. They're now married. They're happily married with two children. So it's a lovely story. Not a cracker in sight. I did a Jamie Oliver lasagna last night, boy.
Did you use the creme fraiche and parmesan?
Yep.
Yeah. It's lovely, isn't it?
And butternut squash. Very, 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 very good.
Butternut squash?
Yeah, but I have one of the layers of butternut squash, roasted butternut squash.
Oh.
Put a little spicy rub on it as well, add a kick.
How was your diet going?
It's been lovely, Tom. Well, it's all right, because I basically went pretty easy AM and early PM yesterday, so I had a few calories to burn last night. I went pretty much up to my limit, Tommy.
I saw you last week, mate, and I didn't think, I mean, speaking over the phone and on WhatsApp, you were saying, you know, you got yourself into a mess and you're struggling to get out of it. But when I saw you, I thought, actually, he's all right. What's he on about?
Well, I've lost a lot of weight since New Year. I've lost 4 stone. No, I haven't. I don't know. Maybe I'll get a bit off. But you know what they say, boy. Nice on the phone, add 4 stone.
40 stone, yeah. But no, when I saw you last week, when we did the ITV short clips commentary, I thought you looked well. You look well.
Oh, thanks, mate.
You could do with a bit of a tan. Mate, you know me. I don't miss anything, do I?
You don't miss a trick.
Well, the thing was, I was waiting for you. You popped to the bathroom, and it was a good 20 minutes. And I was bored. I thought, I'll have a little look.
Do you know who's got a good... Yeah.
See what he's got in his lunch.
Do you know who's got a good tan? Do you know who's got a good tan? Luke Pearce.
Yeah.
Referee Luke Pearce. Mm. He's tanned all year round, just like his dad.
Stuart.
I don't trust him. Yeah. I don't trust him. Right. I reckon we should get our guest on now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He's never late or early or unprepared. I've never known him to make a logistical mistake. So he will be by his laptop with his headphones plugged in on Google Chrome.
Chinos, deck shoes, Blue Harbour shirt.
Yeah. He'll have a wacky dad shirt. He'll have yellow cords on.
Hanging bit of stubble just on his chin.
Yeah, awful.
Top lip. Yeah.
Yeah. It was Willem Dafoe in Lighthouse, that movie Lighthouse.
Not seen
he
it.
He was. He looks like him in that. Just like haggard and overgrown. Mangy.
If you're looking for a film, there's not a bad one on Apple TV. You can join Apple TV. It's free. I think I mentioned it before. It's called Greyhound. Tom Hanks stars in it.
Okay.
It's good. I think he's looking for a submarine in World War II, right? He's in a battleship. Matt, okay. Can you hear us?
So why can't you hear me?
Oh, here he is.
Hold on. So why can't you hear me, Clarice? This is Hannibal Lecter.
How are you, fellas?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good, Matt.
On right, a nice Tom, bottle of Chianti.
Well, guess where I am, Tom?
I know. I can smell it. You're upstairs, mate, aren't you? Top bedroom.
Top bedroom, the guest bedroom. And, I'm in the room that you threw up in a year ago. And despite having chemically cleaned, there's still a smell here.
I say, mate, it's haunted.
Curtains.
It's haunted.
Is it? Yeah, did it stain the carpet?
Yes.
You've got it on a skirting board around the bed.
Oh, it's everywhere. God.
Yeah. Oh, wow, mate.
Do you remember, well, you'll all know Adam Jones, the Welsh second row, Steam.
Yep.
He came once to watch a Bath game. And he said, I'll get you in the players' bar. I have a couple of pints during the game and then I'll join you after. And he basically, about 8 o'clock, he bailed because he'd drunk way too much of pints of cider and black. And he went back, I gave him the keys. He went back to my house and I got back, he's 6'7", to find him unconscious in the dead body position, you know, the chalk yeah. outline position on the landing, and he'd spewed mattress gone, carpet replaced in the spare bedroom, and he'd spewed, then come out of the room, collapsed and spewed through the floorboards, and it had gone down through the wooden floorboards on the first floor, through the ceiling paint and halogen lights on the ground floor.
What an effort.
Now, that takes a bit of doing.
Just for clarification, we're talking about Adam Jones, second row. Finishes.
Yeah, not bomb.
Finished at the Dragons. I roomed with him for a bit, didn't I, when we were living above the co-op on Oakwood.
Oh, yeah.
He handed me his suit once to get dry cleaned. I was like, yeah, no problem. He handed it to me in a bag. And I opened it. I was like, oh, my God. Right, he'd soiled it. It'd been sick all over it.
Oh, God.
I had to hand it in to the dry cleaners. And I had to say, look, I promise you, I'm really sorry about this. I promise you, it's not me. It's not mine. what can you do with this? Burn it if you want.
You remember Gary Powell, the Welsh prop?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was that Powley.
Matt's related to him.
I think he sent me once into... He was getting something and I was getting... And he sent me once into a shop to pick up some photos for him from a film he'd had developed. When I walked in there, I got pulled aside and they were inappropriate photos. I came out and he was visiting himself.
was that me?
Or was that you? Oh, it was you. I wondered. Yeah.
And we sent you in. Tom and I sent you in. But Steam though, did he give you any compensation for the damage?
Well, it's funny you mention that because from memory, he might have sent some flowers or something, but he didn't make the efforts you made after you ruined my house that time.
Because I received a really shite hamper of like biscuits and cheese crackers from Shanks.
Nothing wrong with Vitties, mate. You lost the value of money.
just what you want after New Year.
Hang around with flats too much.
Cheese biscuits.
Steam, Adam Jones, when I live with him, I remember in the night he used to wake up and like most people have a glass of water, he'd go to the fridge and like open a can of Coke like that, whoosh, just bolt a can of Coke because he was thirsty in the night.
I remember Powley at Shank, well, all three of us went out one, we didn't have a game. Oh no, that's not true. Oh no, we didn't have a game. He'd just signed for Quinn's from Sarries.
Just make it up.
No, we didn't have a game. We were arrested and Jonesy had signed for Quinn's, but he was still living with John Dawson at Sarries. He hadn't moved down yet. And we said, oh, we're going out Friday night. He said, I can't, boys. I'm making my debut for Quinn's tomorrow, the first team. We're like, oh, mate, you can come out. No, I can't, boys. I'm making my debut for my new club. I was like, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'll tell you what, boys, I'll drive. Then I'm safe, and I'll drive then. And I go there. I can't drink then because I'm driving. And about half a pint, and he said, bollocks to this, get me a pint. I'll leave the car here again in the morning. And we were absolutely plastered. And I think he scored on his debut and got rave reviews for his performance. But now at least if John Kingston's listening, which he won't be, Jonesy got plastered the night before his debut.
Nothing he can do now, can he? Nothing he can do now.
Yeah, what's he going to do about it? Anyway, Matt, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, real honour.
It's a big day for you. We will come to a Lions update in a bit, but I've just been, before we came on, I was just sitting on my laptop and reading some rugby news. And obviously the news is going around that Alex Sanderson, very exciting, Alex Sanderson has been signed as director of rugby to replace Steve Diamond up at Sale Sharks, his old club, home club and all that. Mm. And it just reminded me that you used to live with his brother, Pat Sanderson, when you played together at Quinn's.
And his sister, Tessa.
And his sister Tessa.
I understand that there isn't much to talk about because there's no rugby. There's no rugby on the weekend. So, have I just got to tell you some stories and get you through the next 20 minutes?
I mean, look, mate. No, you, as far as you're aware, you're coming on to do a Lions update. But actually, I want to talk to you about your time with Pat Sanderson because I remember one. I remember you telling me once about something you did as a flatmate to Pat that you thought was funny, but perhaps Pat didn't. Any recollection?
Well, I suppose you can link it into to Alex and being at Sale. Yeah. Well, yeah. I lived with Pat when we both played at Harlequins, and really, really good guy, and enjoyed my time living with him. But we were just continually stitching each other up, and it just gradually got worse and worse and worse. And to be fair to Pat, he got me in quite a few ways, and I don't really want to talk about those. I'm still scarred by some of the things he did to me.
Still open cases.
Yeah. But there was this one day we were out in Richmond, and we're having a few beers in the P&P, and I, for some reason, I wasn't going to go big, so I left early. So I left at 11, and I was tucked up in bed, and that is genuine. What was the nightclub in Richmond called?
Park Love.
Park Avenue.
Park Love.
So I decided not to go to Park Avenue. I was probably banned, so I didn't go. Anyway, Pat at the time, he was single, and he came back with a young lady. And the next morning, it's like 7:15 in the morning, Pat steams into my room and says, "Paoli, you've got to help me out. I've got to go coaching." And he's got his like full-on tracksuit on, and he like, I didn't have time to reply. He's gone. He's out the front door. I was like, "Oh my God, you've really stitched me up here." And he's left this lady in the house with me. So this isn't going where you think it is, Shanks.
I trust you, mate. It's like it's like Joey and Chandler and Friends. No, I get it.
Yeah, so, let's go with it.
Is that a happy end? Well, no, that's probably wrong term. Carry on.
For Paoli,
no,
it is.
So it was so weird. I mean, I went back to sleep, and I woke up at 10, and I went into the living room, and this girl's there. And I was like, do you want breakfast? Made her breakfast. And I don't remember her name, but I remember where she was. She was from Havant. I don't know why I remember that, but I can't remember her name. But she's a really good laugh. And she...
Bubbly.
Was So we had breakfast. And then I was kind of thinking, yeah, so what are you up to for the rest of the day? Can I drop you off at the station? Pat, at this stage, I mean, he said he was coaching. He definitely wasn't coaching, but I knew that he had gone in the afternoon to meet his parents for lunch. He'd gone to Vicarage Road because Sale were playing Saracens, and he was involved in that game, so the whole family had come down. So I asked her what she's up to. She said, I've got no plans. And then part of me is just like, I've got no plans either. I can really stitch Pat up here. So I said, well, I'm actually going to go and watch Saracens versus Sale at Vicarage Road. Do you want to come with me? And she said, well, that'd be really cool, but I think Pat's going there, and I don't think he'd like it if I turned up. So I said, well, don't worry about that. I'll call Pat now and see if he's okay with it. So I called Pat up. And he answered the mobile. He's like, has she gone yet? I was like, oh yeah, we're within now. Pat, I just ask him, mate. You wouldn't mind if I brought? I think her name's Claire. I said, you wouldn't mind if I bring Claire up to the game today? And I'm actually genuinely having a conversation with him, and he's on the phone trying to shout, going, "You do that, Paoli, I'll rip your head off. No way." I said, yeah, mate. I knew you wouldn't mind. I knew. Yeah. No problem at all. See you later. So she's like, okay, that's great, brilliant. So then she's got the problem. She's got a pair of jeans and like top, she hasn't got the right clothing to go to her rugby game in. So I said, don't worry about that. And I went into Pat's wardrobe and I got her an England fleece top and an England jacket with his initials on. And and she wore those. So we drove up to Vicarage Road, and I knew exactly where like Pat would be, because we were all at Sarri's, and I didn't play a lot, and I think it was the Halton Suite. Was it called the Halton Suite, Dave? You probably remember.
The Halton Suite. Yeah. We called it the Dave Thompson Suite because it's where you went when you were injured. So he lived in there.
Yeah. So all the people who weren't playing, you just go to the Halton Suite. You'd have like loads of food and drink in there before the game, and the families are all allowed in there. Anyway, and straight in the Halton Suite because I knew the guy on the door, and straight in there, and we joined Pat for lunch with his mum, dad, sister, his niece, and I just kept on looking at Pat for the whole game. He was absolutely hating it. To be fair, he hasn't spoke to me for a while, so this may prompt a call. He may be calling me later on about that.
I mean, what did he say to you? What did he say to you after on the way home? Was that it? What did he say to you on the way home then? after
oh, no. Well, yeah, it kind of backfired on me then I had to sort of take her back to the station. So it was a bit of effort on my side, Tom, but sometimes just to see that reaction in your mate's eyes, you'll commit to it.
Did you have to make him breakfast then to make up for it then? Were you like on the back foot then a bit? Like doing him some scrambled eggs, smoked salmon in the morning, say sorry.
No, we're okay. It kind of went on to the next one then. He was then getting me back for something.
Yeah.
I remember...
Wouldn't be for girls, would it?
No. Matt, while we're on the subject of stitch-ups, another thing I've told people over the years that I question if it's true or if I've made it up. But I seem to remember when you were at Quinn's, Kai Horseman was moving house and you advertised a yard sale at his house on the day he was moving. So people kept turning up trying to take his things. Was that right?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, Kai, again, is a good friend. And Kai... He turned up Quinn's and he just started calling himself the big dog, even though he was only 19. And a few of us were like, oh my God, who is this guy? So, he bought a house in Surbiton and he was really house proud and he was doing all sorts of stuff to it. And then every Saturday morning before a game, he'd have a house sale there. So all these random people were turning up trying to buy stuff off him. Yeah.
Didn't you nick his dogs as well?
Oh, but yeah, but Dave, I think there's probably too many dog lovers out to tell that one.
You're chatting to one in France, anyway. I know Andrew Cotter listens to this as well, and nobody loves.
No, it's just that
nobody loves animals more than him.
I did text a couple of your former teammates this morning, Pauly, to see, you know, anything we should or shouldn't ask you that I wouldn't know about from the days you were playing in different teams from Shanks and me, but. I got one back was the time you nicked Kai's dogs. The other time was to ask you about when you were social secretary at Worcester Warriors, and because you basically weren't in the team and needed to give you something to do for your salary.
Yeah.
And there was, and it ended up in a vicious assault. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Just in case Andrew Cotter's listening, we'll probably leave the dog one if that's all right.
Yeah,
sure. You gave him back. You gave him back.
Oh yeah, the dogs are fine. The dogs had a great time.
Landed on their feet. It's fine.
Yeah, the social secretary one. Throughout my career, I was like social secretary because I quite like organising events. And the problem is, you're on your way out, really. I think if you're a social secretary, because the coaches and management just start to see you as the bloke who's organising loads of jollies and piss ups rather than what you're doing on the field. So
no one ever suggested that Martin Johnson was social secretary, did they? Martin Johnson was never social secretary because he was too busy actually playing.
He was too good. Yeah. So I was social secretary and as you guys know, at the end of every season you play your last game and then you have Super Sunday. So Super Sunday you generally go away, get a bus, go a few hours away and have an overnighter, and we chose to go to Cardiff. So is it the Holiday Inn next to the Arms Park?
Yes, it is, mate.
Yeah, so booked the Holiday Inn and then 35 of us jump on a crazy. So 35 of us jump on a bus. We're all in Hawaiian shirts. Crazy, and we did a normal thing, do a bit of a pub crawl, and one of the funny things actually about that pub crawl was Paul Sampson was with us. So Paul played at Worcester for a year, and every pub he went to, because I knew which pubs we were going to, in the toilets there were pictures of Kirsty Gallagher all over the toilets in a bikini, and he's a really really aggressive bloke, so he didn't particularly like that. It's all really really messy. I can't really remember too much about it, but I remember just getting myself back to the hotel around midnight and going to sleep. So all was fine. Anyway, the next morning I'm getting this really aggressive knocking on my hotel door, and so I answer it, and it's a hotel manager, and she's like, sorry, Matt, I just wonder if you could come downstairs. There was one of our staff was assaulted last night, and it might have been one of your team. Oh my God. So like straight away, you're like, okay, you're on this trip. There's like Lee Forte, Chris Forte, you know, there's some real loose cannons, some Samoans as well. So I'm thinking, oh my God, this is really bad. So I go downstairs, and behind reception is this like small office. And in the corner is a guy just sort of sitting there, and he's a bit shaken up. And the manager's like, so Matt, and she's telling me this because I did all the booking. As far as she was concerned, I was in charge. I was the captain.
Kayla.
So I'm there. And she's last night Terry was attacked, and we think it might have been one of the guys in your party. And we've got some video footage. I was like, oh God. So she starts to play the video footage, and what happened, it's kind of quite a big foyer area there, and there's these big pillars, and you could see this person come in, and Terry, who's on, like, he's just a night watchman, just doing laps, really. Terry didn't see the guy, person behind the pillar, and then jumps out when Terry's not looking, tackles Terry to the ground, and before Terry knows it, the guy's down the corridor and gone. I'm looking at it going, oh my gosh, that's really bad. I mean, Terry didn't get hit that hard, but it would have just been the shock. I was certainly sympathizing with him. So I said, look, this is really bad. I just need to buy myself some time, because I was really, really hungover. So I said, look, can you print out that footage there? And then I can go back. I can work out who was wearing that top, and we can work out who it is, and we'll carry out our own investigation back in Worcester. Sort of got my stuff, got out of the hotel, and got back, on my way back. But it wasn't particularly hard to identify the person, because it was my shirt, it was me. So
checkered, yeah. Was it checkered?
Yeah. So but when I got back, the guys were they were in on the Tuesday, I think, for meetings and that kind of stuff, and I had all the images lined up on the notice board, which was fun, and then I think I was sacked as social secretary.
Yeah, exactly, and as scrum half, it turned out.
Yeah.
Go out on a high.
I think my career ended before that.
Your career started at Brunel Uni with me. I always remember Paoli. I can't remember who we were playing. It might have been St Mary's or someone else. And we're in the changing room, and it was at Richmond Rugby Club. And we get, you get like the knock on the door, like, ref's ready for you now, we've got to leave. And Sean Justice was our captain, I think, at the time. And just before we're about to leave, like, I thought he was going to say the last few words. And I'm not sure if it was him or if it was you, Paoli, but he makes someone read out Rudyard Kipling's "If" right before we run out. I'm sure I've said this before. And the poem takes about 5 minutes to read, and the ref is banging on the door, telling us to leave. And all I can hear is, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when men all doubt you." Ah, oh, it takes 5 minutes to read. Yeah, I'm just waiting to go out. I'm like, anyway, we've got to sit there.
Say it wasn't me. It does sound like a sort of thing Justice would do, because he's pretty dark.
I'm waiting for the last few words about, like, stick it up him. They don't like it up him.
Yeah, but the thing is with Justice, Justice has to calm himself down before confrontations like that. When everyone else is trying to get up for it, he's trying to get down from where he is naturally. So it's got to...
Well, I did...
By the way, Sean, now... Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, I dropped him a note to congratulate... Because now he's Ealing Trailfinders, and they had a brilliant win on the weekend.
Yeah, saw that.
Yeah, so he's at Ealing now and working there, and they beat Saris, for goodness sake. Is it like Conkers? Because they've beaten Saris, are they now basically the best team in Europe?
Yeah, they're coming up now. They're coming up to
basically. I know Chiefs Premiership. Won it, yeah, basically, yeah.
Pauly, give us an update on the Lions, mate. Come on, going ahead, yeah.
Well, I mean, sadly, there's not much to say. I don't think. I believe they do have to make a decision in the next couple of weeks.
Only reason we've got you on.
So, at the moment, you know, it's all going ahead. So, you know, we're obviously working very closely with Lions Rugby Travel and. You know, they're still selling the corporate packages and the tour packages. So, I don't know. But with so much uncertainty, you kind of think it must be sensible to postpone it. But, I mean, you guys will know that for a lot of the unions, it's just going to be such a difficult conversation because they've got so many different priorities. There's a World Cup coming up. They've got tours planned for the following year. Mm. So I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. But I'm sure we will know by the end of this month.
Just follow Martin Cross on Twitter.
Great. I was about to say Martin Cross says on the 28th, doesn't he?
Great for updates.
Yeah, understand the decision. Thank you, Martin. On the Lions tour will be communicated to key sponsors on January the 28th.
Right, here's a good question we've had on social media, on Twitter. It's from PKS, strange name. But best drinking game sessions... on a tour or end of season. Best drinking game.
Best drinking game. I used to like black white.
Yeah.
Black white. Because it. For those of you that know, for those of you that don't, you sit down, you invite someone to play a drinking game, and there's always one person around the table with a pint who doesn't know that the game black white doesn't exist. Or black, white, black, whatever you want to call it, doesn't exist. There's no game. So you go black, white, black, black, white. Hey, you can't follow black, white, the white, black, white. Ah, you'll pick it up eventually. You've got to pick it up. It's part, and you keep going and going and going. And of course, you throw in the odd deliberate mistake where you have to drink a bit and I have to drink a bit and Paul has to drink a bit. But then the unknowing person just basically ends up doing three pints for every half a pint we do. Mm. And you just write someone off and ruin their social, which is... satisfying.
I'm old school. I quite like a golf ball still. Yeah, you can only put a golf ball in when you're holding the pint. If it goes in, you're seeing it off. Then you've got...
Spoon of Doom.
Then you've got 21s. Always good. You've got eyes up, eyes down. Eyes down. Everyone puts their eyes down, eyes up. You've got to look at someone around the table. If they're looking back at you, you've got to take a swig. And I find the easiest one is if you get a glass in the middle of the table, you fill it with whatever you want. And say there's 10 of you around a table. You ask someone to pick a number between, make it up, 30 and 40. They pick the number. You point to someone else, left or right. And you say one number each until you land on that number. Whoever's in the middle, whoever finishes on one, necks it. Or the number, whatever.
Yeah, I'm rubbish with this stuff, but...
It's quick, it's easy.
Sorry, Dave. I was going to say, I just kind of like a combination of two or three games. And you've got to throw EG in there. That just really gets people. And I've been done over by EG loads of times. I remember losing. I was on tour in Canada and I was drinking a pitcher of lager, and EG'd. You know, I was topping everyone up. EG on a pitcher of lager, and then I obviously had to do the whole pitcher again. And I EG'd again, you just kind of lose your head. Yeah. So I think you've got to have EG in the mix.
Left-handed as well. There's so many. So many. I want to do Centurion is what I want to do. I want to do a shot of lager.
What?
A shot of lager every minute for 100 minutes.
Oh, that's horrendous. We did that in Croatia, Pauly. We had a boat trip and we did 100 shots in 100 minutes. And we realised that our shot glasses weren't legit and they're a bit big. But Danny Grucott doesn't drink beer, so he's like, I'll do a mixture of vodka and orange. I'll just make a big jug of vodka and orange and do that. Anyway, went badly wrong.
Of course it did.
And he had a seizure. And everyone basically was like, see you, mate. He was unconscious, couldn't wake him up properly, and having seizures on the floor. And the other lads left him and went to a club, and Tomo and I stayed with him because we're good blokes and thought we might actually lose him. He was fine, actually, in the end.
Zimmy.
I remember on that trip...
Sorry, go on.
To be fair, on that, Dave, I actually managed to get a couple of photos of me standing above him, so it looked like I knocked him out.
Yeah. The lads were doing, like, holding their fists in the air with their feet on him while Dan was unconscious on the floor. They all loved it. They thought it was hilarious. I remember during the day, it's like day three on this boat trip with friends, and we're all sitting having a beer on deck or whatever, and Paulie's just got a pencil and a bit of paper off at the back of the boat. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm just sorting out some games for tonight." And every day he would write games and plan games for the evening. And you do need one of those, because for me it was just, that doesn't cross my mind that.
Well, Zimmy, you played Zimmy before?
No.
Oh, you all get a number around the table, and you've got to sing a little song like Zimmy, and you call your number 1-1, and then you call another number, say 9-9, and then 9-9 has to say 9-9-3-3, and you go back and forth like that, but you've got to do it to the beat, and everyone's clapping their hands and slapping their legs. It's pretty good.
I think we should on our Lions trip, it's not going to be a continuous drinking game.
For me, it is.
You can just drink sensibly.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Of course you can.
I'm hoping there are no drinking games there at all, actually. It'd be a far more civilised trip than that. I remember on the EG thing, the worst I ever saw was pre-season tour in Biarritz. I think all three of us would have been there with Sarries. And we're playing EG, and I was still learning the ropes, and we were young, the three of us, and it was like, right, try not to get done with a glass of red wine. And then Paul Wallace, someone said, "Oh, Wally, top us up, will you?" So Wally just topped them up, and he just put a red wine bottle, empty bottle, down on there. EG, empty glass or vessel. So he then had to stand up, and he said, "I'm not doing it. Who's going to make me do it? Who's going to make me do it?" And everyone's like, Wally. So he stood up and necked a whole bottle of red wine, and then EG'd that as well. And it's like, "Oh, Wally, what have you done?" Anyway, long story short, he missed training the next day because he woke up in Spain.
Yeah. Across the border,
true story. Yeah.
We actually played, we were playing Stade Francais. And, you know, in France, they do the post-match so well. The food's great. They're just lovely wines all laid out for you. And obviously, we'd lost to Stade Francais, so... it was, right, guys, we've got a night in Paris, let's get it started. So we started playing EG. I EG'd a bottle of red, so I had to do a bottle of red around the post-match, just right around the table there. And then it kind of went really bad, because we then got the bus back to the hotel before we went out, and then I started doing an impression on the microphone of John Kingston. John's a good guy, but... He had a reputation for, like, he'd analyse everything, and he'd analyse referees, and he'd come on and he'd be like, "This is like on a Friday, so you've done all your prep, right, Stade Francais this and whatever," and then he'd be like, "Right, so referee is Wayne Barnes," and he'd spend 15 minutes talking about the referee, and he'd be like, "He drives a Ford Mondeo." He just kind of went on and on. So I started doing this impression, and then John and I sort of didn't see eye to eye after that, and I probably left Quinn soon after that.
Yeah, shame that. The old referee analysis thing, I often think about that, because it was just like, he's got a tendency to do this. Okay, that's quite useful. Leave it at that. But it used to be our analyst job at Bath to analyse the ref, and it was like, it was a good, it's interesting for the first 30 seconds. Just give us key points, and that's all we really need. But I remember saying there was a referee called something Fox in the Premiership. Somebody Fox, Martin Fox, I can't remember, Fox. Anyway, first thing was Foxy. Yeah, he's a property millionaire. He does not need to be here. He does not need this, all right? He doesn't give a shit. You're like, okay, what does that mean? He's one of the best refs. He doesn't care who you are, okay? Doesn't care what you've done, yeah? He's a property millionaire. He doesn't need to be here. I'm like, what has this got to do with anything? It's so bizarre.
Dave, have you spoken about your birthday? It's your birthday this week, mate. What have you asked for?
A new colon, I think, Pauly.
Oh, God. Got a gastric band. A job. Now, I remember, is this one of those times like when Tony Dipros did an interview for the Saracens match day programme, and... he said, "I am particularly fond of Mao Am sweets," or something, and then like 40 packs arrived in his pigeonhole from fans. Is that what I'm doing now?
You're quite a big fan of cash.
I don't need any sweets, Dave.
No, it's the last thing I need. Please send baby gem lettuces, whatever they're called.
What are you doing? Have you got anything planned?
Yeah, I'm going to Bermuda for 6 weeks.
It is a shame.
I'm
going
to Bermuda for
this,
6 weeks.
This time last year, we were having a lovely dinner party, drinking and eating
the finest of wines.
Yeah.
That's what got to me, I think.
Well, we could do something on Zoom, Dave, couldn't we? That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, do you want to have a couples Maybe. Dress up, a quiz or something?
Maybe.
We all got to dress as you. That'd be a good one.
I'm gonna have a. Well, I've got different looks. I can do tweed.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I can
do chinos and check. I can do. Black ops.
I'll see if my dad can send some stuff in the post. It's fine.
No real plans, Matt. I think we'll have a nice bit of meat on Thursday night in a nice. I tell you what I'm gonna have. I already know. I'm having Chateaubriand and a Lebanese red.
You like your Lebanese night. Red? You post about that a lot.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's so nice.
Have you had chocolate so block nice. Yet?
Yeah, really nice.
Okay,
it's Pauly. Lebanese stuff. Beaut.
Pauly, yeah. We've obviously been watching a lot of series. We've talked about the things that we've watched. Are you into anything good at the moment on TV?
I just finished The Serpent. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, well done. You starred in it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Character based on Matt Powell. This time it's Harrison's.
Do you know what? During this lockdown, I've started reading a little bit. So I've just been reading two of Luke Sutton's books.
Okay. Yeah.
Back from the Edge.
So the first one was obviously his troubles when he was playing and playing cricket, and mm-hmm. then the next one was more about him being an agent. Nice and short. Quite enjoyed those books, but I don't know what I'm going to watch next. I've heard there's a Scandinavian drama called The Investigation that I need to watch, which is going to come out soon.
All right.
I read about it in the
Radio Times
papers.
Okay, so,
okay, I'll have a look at that. That's good stuff. Oh, you read I Am Pilgrim, didn't you? I recommended that to you, and you liked it.
I did, and I loved that. Yeah, really, really. I couldn't put the book. You know, I've never really read a book and thought I couldn't put it down, but I did really enjoy that. Yeah, that was great.
Read The Jigsaw Man by Paul Britton. You'll like that.
Okay.
It's about a forensic investigator. So he'd go and interpret the crime scene and sort of say, well, you know, it's true. So it's about crimes that happened, I suppose, in the 80s, 90s. And he'd look at the crime scene and say, you know, two kids live close by, broken home. It's good.
And Shanks, I haven't watched harrowing. The Pembrokeshire Murderer yet. Is it worth watching?
Yeah, Flats doesn't like it because he says it's more. Well, he said he liked it, okay. He thinks it was too much you speak, I speak, you speak, I speak. He didn't like the main character in it because he thought he was too chiseled, too good looking. But it's good. It's good. He was upset because he knew straight away who the murderer was. But,
of course he did.
Yeah, I know.
He's
a nightmare watching like Agatha Christie.
No, Pauly, they tell you who's guilty straight away, which is fine. It's a different format. I thought it was a little bit murder mystery by numbers. I didn't find it that. I enjoyed it, but I'm glad there are only three episodes because I didn't find it as good as some of the high end stuff I've seen in the last couple of years. That's all I'm saying.
Yep, but it's worth a watch.
As a criminal psychologist.
Yeah, who's this speaker? You or Graham?
The hammer, Graham. No, but I know a lot about what goes on in the minds of experienced criminals, guys. Okay, I used to be one. Right,
that will do us.
Well, fellas, thanks very much for having me. The bonus of this is I got out of the last half an hour of homeschooling, which has been pretty brutal.
That you are welcome. Yeah, it's crap, isn't it? And everyone's trying to. I was really positive in lockdown one about it all. It's really crap.
Yeah.
I managed to do the whole day. So a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of meetings.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. So
yeah. My wife,
I feel like I've beat the system. Sorry.
Yeah, my wife's sort of escaped to the office and has left me to do it all day. So we need to address the balance.
Is she doing the liver detox, Paolo?
Oh, she is.
She started it yet?
Started today. Yeah.
How's it going?
I haven't really asked. I'm definitely not doing it because I'm trying to get fit in this lockdown, but I'm also trying to drink a lot of wine. And actually, I mean, you'll know this, Dave, but I actually look forward to cooking my like nice bits of food, nice bits of meat, because that is all I've got to look forward to in the day at the moment.
Yep. Yeah, it used to be that waiting for senior kids was enough, but it's not anymore.
I'm making turkey meatballs tonight. So
turkey what?
Meatballs. Turkey meatballs. Try and go a little bit healthy.
Oh God.
Mm. No, I love turkey. That'll be all right. That.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, open mind. I'll try it. If I don't like it, I'll just
keep going. Oi.
I'll order a kebab in, mate. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone, just keep going. All right.
All right, boys and girls.
Well done, Matt. Keep going. Matt, yeah, by the way, posthumous congratulations on being selected for Dowie Morris's team in 2005. That was good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want me to share the team with you?
Well, if you've got us a hand, yeah. Why not?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
No, thanks.
Thought I heard a bit of paper turn over then. Just bottled it. You just bottled it, haven't you? You're about to do it. You just bottled it.
I definitely haven't
Graham Rowntree, Lou said, Duncan Bell, tight head, Pat Sanderson, open side. I've just sat on your downstairs toilet so many times. George
Craig
Shooter,
Gillies.
I think. What? Gillies?
Yeah.
There you go.
Craig Gillies. Andy Beattie was in there.
All right.
Beast was in there. And on one wing was, God, what was his name? The Aussie guy. Scott Staniforth on one wing. Ayulita Rinley's in the midfield.
Oogie. Goody. Was Goody 10?
Don't know. Let's just say he was. Well played, yeah. Goody.
Bruce Rayhana.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Fullback. Lovely.
Chris Bell.
Belly.
Chris Bell.
And? Yeah.
You kind of got to wonder what happened to all the other nines that year.
Love him. Nice guy.
That was a bad year for nines, that. Really
must
bad
be, must
year.
Must have been a World Cup year. Yeah.
Yeah, and Lions and everything else. Right, well done, Matt. Keep going, guys. Happy
right.
lockdown.
Catch you later, guys. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys. Ta-ra.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.